while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
We're in our new sermon series, Fractured People, Flawless God. It's four series. It has four series. Is it a series or episodes? It's episodes, isn't it? Sermons. Well, but there's parts, right? There's four parts to it. So if you haven't done so already, I do suggest just reading the whole of Esther. It will help when you come in to church on Sunday and we go through the sermon, just to kind of know where we are, because even though it's based on chapter two, we're also jumping from different chapters and bringing things together. So it will help if you just know the whole of Esther so it can kind of flow a bit more easier. So the title is Making It Without Faking It. And when I heard that title, I was like, interesting. Because obviously the saying that most of us do is fake it to make it, which means pretend to be something you're not or somebody you're not until you become that thing or that person you want to be. And immediately it made me think of this TV program I'd watched. I think it was Nightmare Tenant. And this guy had bought a five-bedroom house. He'd done it all up. He rented it to this young woman. And 6 months were fine. She was paying the rent. And then she just stopped paying the rent. And he kept on saying, you know, where's the rent? She said, I'll give it to you soon. I'll give it to you soon. Then had to go down the whole route of getting law involved and all of that. And he said the worst thing is that she is an Instagram model with thousands of followers. She takes pictures in the house, pretends that it belongs to hers, that she's living this fancy life, and nobody knows that actually she can't pay the rent, it's not her house, and she's going to get kicked out. But I thought it's so easy now to fake it until you make it, especially with social media and all those kind of things. It's really easy to fake it until you make it in the world. But God desires something different for his people. And as we go along today, as we journey today, I hope that we will see that in the end. So quick recap of chapter one, which Pastor Deji brought to us last week, about God working for your good. And he kind of went through the whole of Esther, but very quickly. And even today in this sermon, I'm going to go through a few things quite quickly. But pointing out that, you know, God isn't mentioned in the book of Esther, but he's there. You can see his hand being involved in so many different things, even though his name is not mentioned. And just how he kind of pulls things together so they work for the good of those who love God. And it's true of us today. Sometimes we go through situations, but God's hand is in there. He's doing something. He's working for our good. So we know that King Xerxes had this kind of big party, and it went on forever and ever. He called out Queen Vashti, come entertain us. And she was like, no, I'm not doing that. He was like, how dare you do that? Get rid of her. So there was no more queen. So then chapter two opens up, and we haven't got a queen. And we need a queen. And so King Xerxes' attendants, his ones that are closest to him, advise him, like, okay, you know what? This is what we can do. We're going to go search for the most beautiful young virgins. Like, we'll gather them up from all in the kingdom. We'll bring them to your place, and then we'll just kind of, whichever one takes your fancy can be the queen. And so the king's like, okay, cool. Let's go for that. Let's do it. And so they go out for this search. And it's in chapter two, we're introduced to Queen Esther at the time. And what we know of her is that she's a Jew. She's Mordecai's cousin, and he looked after her because her parents are no more. And so they go out and they get this woman. They go and gather all these women, the beautiful young virgins, and bring them back. And Esther happens to be one of the ladies that they bring back. And I just want us to pause there for a second and think about Esther. Now, what we know about Esther is that she's an orphan, okay? She's an orphan. She doesn't have any parents. She's staying with her, with Mordecai, who's looking after her. That's her father figure. So she loves him, cares for him, and she is young as well. She's probably about 13 or 14, which back then was the kind of age that you would get married. and King Xerxes would have been around 40. You know, when you're at that age, you have your dreams, there's things that you want to do. I'm sure she wanted to get married to someone who loved her, she wanted to have children. And all of a sudden, those things are just taken from her. Because this search for the queen, it wasn't, oh, the king's looking for a queen. If you think you fit like what he needs, hand him your CV and we'll get back to you. This was, the king needs a queen. We're going to go out. We will decide who's beautiful, who's young. If she's a virgin, she's coming with us. It's not optional. This isn't voluntary. And so all of a sudden, she's taken from what she knows to go and live in the king's harem. And that is basically a house for the women. And it might have been beautiful. I'm sure it would have been beautiful. It was inside the king's palace. But to live there, living in a place full of women from, yeah. Yeah. Living in a place full of women from different nationalities, different backgrounds, different beliefs, the amount of jealousy there would have been. There might have been some women who wanted to be there. They wanted to be the queen. And others who didn't want to be there. The sorrow, the loss, just so many things going on in one place. And in fact, we know that there was a eunuch who kind of oversaw the harem to make sure everything was in order. And one of their duties was to make sure that any conflicts that happened between the women didn't erupt into violence. So this wasn't a good place to live. This wasn't a fun place for the women to be living. I keep saying women, they would have been children to be living. And so, of course, while they're there, they go through this 12 months of preparing to see the king. 6 months was with oil and myrrh, and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. And once she had done this, it was then her duty to go in to the king, to go see him, to entertain him in whatever way she was gifted to do so. And that entertainment also obviously included sexual entertainment too. Scripture says, in the evening, she will go to the king from one place of the harem, and in the morning, she will go to another place. In other words, she was in one place of the harem, she went in to see the king, whatever happened, and then she was sent to another place of the harem, basically the used goods section. The king would test drive the women before he made his purchase. And his purchase was Esther. And I'm not sorry to have to put it in those kind of words, because one of the things that we sometimes do is over-glamorize the story of Esther. It wasn't a good situation that she was in. Yes, she found favor and was given special food and attendance, but her situation wasn't good. Yes, she found favor with the king and he made her the queen, but her situation was not good. Just like Joseph when he was in prison. Yes, he found favor and God was with him, but his situation was not good. And I think about the food bank we run here on a Wednesday and a Friday. Yes, people come in, they get food, but their situation is not good. And so I hope that you're seeing Esther for Esther, not Esther the queen. A girl who has had everything taken from her. Her parents taken from her. Mordecai basically taken from her. All her hopes and her dreams taken from her, even her virginity taken from her. And if that's not bad enough, she had her identity taken from her. Twice in scripture, it tells us that she had to conceal her identity. Verse 10, Esther had not revealed her nationality and her family background because Mordecai had forbidden her not to do so. And verse 20, but Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do so. She continued to follow Mordecai's instructions as she had done when he was bringing her up. So things progress in the story. And last week, Pastor Deji called Haman the bad man, because he said it rhymed, which it does. So I'll give it to him. Haman the bad man. You know, he hates, absolutely hates the Jews, okay? And he's in a very high position now. He's just below the king. And he cannot stand the Jews. And he gets into a bit of a tiff with Mordecai. And that is literally it for him. He's like, no, that's it. These Jews, they all need to die. Like, I'm done with them. And so he goes to the king and he's like, king, look, these people, let's just get rid of them. Let's kill them all in a few months' time. And the king's like, yeah, cool. Do what you want. It's up to you. And so the whole of the nation are told that one day all the Jews will be killed. Let me read it, what it actually says. Destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and children, on a single day. The 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. Mordecai obviously knows about this, and he goes to let Esther know what's happening. So he goes to the gate and he says to one of the attendants, tell Esther what's happening. That the Jews are going to be killed. All of us are going to be killed, and she needs to go and speak to the king. And I want to start to focus in on her response. Immediately, her first response is fear. I'm going to kind of just say what she says, but in a different way. She just says, Mordecai, I can't go and see the king. Nobody just goes up to see the king unless he's called them to. If I do that, I will die unless he hands over the gold scepter. And then she kind of adds on an excuse after. She's like, and he hasn't seen me in 30 days. And it made me think, how many of us, when it's time to stand up for God, when it's time to be a voice, when it's time to say what is righteous, we become fearful. The first thing we do is become terrified. We're scared of what people might say. We're scared of what people might do. We're scared of losing friends. We're scared of losing relationships. We're scared of losing jobs. This fear of man kind of overtakes us. But this fear of man is not something new. It's not. Remember Peter when he was identified as a disciple of Christ, and he was like, no, I don't know Jesus. Mm-mm. He didn't do that once, didn't do it twice. He did it three times. He's like, I don't know this man. He said, I swear, I don't know him. Why did he do that? Because there was fear. The fear of man was on him. He thought, what will happen to me? I will end up like Jesus. No, I'm not doing it. And so he lies about knowing Christ. He hides his identity. He fakes it to please others. Now, I know this can be difficult for many of us. Sometimes we're caught up in situations. Sometimes we're caught up in conversations when we know what we should say. But we're just like, I can't say it because I don't know what's going to happen. But the thing about the fear of man, someone once said that you obey who you fear. Let me give you an example. I have a nephew, Josh, and he's seven now. But one day my sister told Josh, he got in trouble. She said, go sit on the stairs. And he sat on the stairs. And his mum came and didn't know what had happened. So she told him to get up. And he was like, oh, I can't. Auntie Cheryl told me to sit on the stairs. I'm in trouble. And she's like, I told you, get up. And she's like, I can't. Auntie Cheryl told me I can't get up. I'm in trouble. And he started to cry. He got really upset. In the end, he didn't get up at all. He decided he was going to sit down because he was more scared of Cheryl. But he was obeying Cheryl, but he was disobeying Shana, which is his mum, because he was more afraid of Cheryl. And sometimes we're in situations where we're called to obey God, but we're more scared of man, so we obey them instead. Let me switch and give you another example. I had a friend who was working at, she was at work, and her manager came out and said, oh, if someone calls for me, let them know that I'm not here, just lie and say I'm busy. And she was like, I'm sorry, I'm not lying for you. That's not who I am, I'm not gonna lie. And the manager was like, Oh, sorry, okay, just hand over the phone to me. But you know, we have these decisions to make. Are we gonna obey man or obey God, regardless of the cost? If we are going to be ourselves, if we're not going to fake it, we have to shake off this fear of man. How do we overcome it? Where's the application here? First of all, confess to God. Look, God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. There's some things I know you want me to stand up and say. There's some situations I know you want me to do X, Y, and Z, but I'm scared of the consequences. Lord, help me and forgive me. And then actually figure out what is it you're actually scared of and why. Because sometimes when we break it down like that, we realize actually we don't have any reason to fear at all. And then the third thing is to confront your fear of man. You're never going to overcome that fear if you're not ready to confront it. Say what it is that God has asked you to say. Confront that fear. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 says, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So Esther becomes paralyzed by the fear of man. She's just like, you know what, he's going to kill me if I go to him. And Mordecai sends back this message. Don't think that just because you live in the king's house, you're the one Jew who will get out of this alive. If you persist in staying silent, faking it, at a time like this, help and deliverance will arrive from the Jews from someplace else. But you and your family will be wiped out. Maybe you were made queen for just a time as this. Then, of course, she goes on to fast and to seek, you know, the face of God. Okay, you know, what have I got to do here? What is it that I should do, God? And honestly, I really love Mordecai's response to her, because he's reminding her of her identity. Look, listen, you're a Jew and we're your people and our God is Yahweh and you're here for a purpose. And that response really reminds me of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, sometimes we need reminding of our identity. We need to be reminded of the God that we serve. We need to be reminded that God has good work for us to do. But we can't do that good work if we're going to pretend to be something that we're not. Because if you're pretending to be something that you're not being who God has called you to be. If you're not being who God has called you to be, then you cannot walk the path that God has pathed out for you. If Queen Esther decided, you know what, I'm not going to say anything. You know, there's a possibility that she could have actually survived. She may have survived. But she absolutely, 100% would have failed the purpose that was for her. See, Esther making it had nothing to do with her becoming a queen. In the world's eyes, they would have thought, yeah, she's made it. I mean, what's the higher position than a queen? That's the top. The world would have said, yeah, she's made it. Well done, Queen Esther. That's it. Like, you're done. It's good. But I'm not here to talk about the ways of the world. I'm not here to tell you how to be successful in the world. I'm about my Father's business. I'm about the kingdom of God. Success looks different in the kingdom of God. She made it when she decided, I'm not going to pretend that I'm not a Jew. I am a Jew, and those are my people, and I'm going to stand for God. Some of us need to stand for God. Some of us have been hiding for a very long time. And God wants to use you. There's good work He's planned for you to do. And your time of being silent is up. If we're gonna make it without faking it, we have to remember who we are. We have to remember that when we become citizens of the kingdom of God, that we join in His mission to share the good news, to be salt of the earth, to be light in the darkness. And we can't do that by covering ourselves up, by being silent, by hiding behind people because we're afraid of what people might say. You cannot make it in the kingdom of God by faking it. In chapter, out of the whole of Esther, there's one verse that always gets me. And it's chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "Then Haman said to King Xerxes, 'There's a certain people dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate. Their customs are different from those of all other people. And they do not obey the king's law. It's not in the king's best interest to tolerate them.'" And it made me think, these Jews stood out. They went about being part of the world. They knew who they were. They knew who they worshipped. They knew what they were to do. In the New Testament, it's the same thing. The people of God knew who they were. There were certain things they refused to get involved in. And that is, in fact, one of the reasons why the Romans were like, we need to persecute them, we need to kill them, because they're just doing their own thing and they're a threat to us. They just got scared. It was like, they're a threat to us. They're doing different things. They're not getting involved. They're being separate. Something's going on here. Let's just get rid of them. And I really wonder, what will be said of Christians today? What will be said of Christians today? Do we stand out or do we blend in? See, we're a called out people, and called out never fits in and it never blends in. If I had to summarize this all in one sort of sentence, it would be God has called you for a purpose. He's created you for a purpose. There is work for you to do in the kingdom of God. And you will never be able to do that work if you continue to pretend to be somebody that you're not.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.